wonder, just looking around, if there's any children here today. Please put your hands up really high if we got some kids. Fantastic. Good job. Put your hands down so I ask you another question. Kids and those up to maybe 18, I see some of you out there pretending you're big and grown up. Do you like money? Put your hands up, two hands up if you like money. Money can be awesome. All right, put your hands down. Please put your hands up. Let's get two hands up if you're a parent or grandparent of any of these children or young adults here. Fantastic. Now, let's see if you're brave, parents or grandchildren, grandparents, parents or grandparents. Have you ever seen these precious little darlings be selfish? Oh, you have. Shocking, I never do. Have you ever realized or thought, especially maybe grandparents, but I know for myself, have you looked at them and said, these kids do not know how good they have it? They're rich, right? How many of you, your kids are growing up with so much richness that we never had? And genuinely, does it concern you that we might raise entitled, spoiled little brats? Yes, okay. Sometimes I see that there is something that the devil wants to use to destroy our children. And I am so thankful that God has given my husband and I the job of taking one of those things and taking it back for the Lord. Praise the Lord. And one of those things is money. Money can be, for children, the most wonderful motivator, the most wonderful character-building tool if it's done right. Money done well with children can create responsibility, thankfulness, gratefulness. Have you ever done something for your kids and they just didn't appreciate it at all? The proper use of money with children can just remove that from your home. And ideally create so that you have a teenager, as they're headed towards 18, they're buying their own cars, they're paying for their own mobile phone plans, thank you very much. They have a plan to pay for the university, and dare we say their wedding? We want to get these kids launched and headed right. Not for the sake of, oh yay, they're good with money, you know, this world it's all going to burn, right? But the right use of money can be a blessing to their character, can be a blessing to God's church, the things that they can do with it. And we have ourselves five sons, and we've tried lots of things. And God has given us the blessing of the conference asking us to share some of what we've learned, a way, not the way, but a way to train up a child in the way that they would go and raise really responsible adults. And what happens is we leave an area and people go, oh, I wish you'd come and teach this class to my kids. And we go, we were actually just there. And it's a big conference. So we wanted to let you know we are here. This afternoon at 1:30, we're at the College Church and we're presenting a money plan for raising responsible children in a Sabbath-minded way from 0 to 18-year-olds. So if you got anybody in that in your influence, you could come along. It's going to be an hour and a half, short little thing. Sunday morning, we're at Dora Creek Church from 9 to 12. You'll get the whole money plan plus how to get your kids started investing and how to get your kids starting their own small business. So we're doing those on Sunday. So today at 1:30, you get half the program, or tomorrow at Dora Creek, 9 to 12, the full program. So if that sounds interesting to you, we'd love to have you come along. If you have any questions, hit us up afterward before we shoot over there. And I'll turn it over to my husband, Marcus.
Thank you. Yes, we are excited to be here. I have met so many wonderful people in this area, and I say, which church do you go to? And they're like, Hillview. I'm like, this must be a great church. And Pathfinder's Away Day, so I'm those churches even more full. Dear friends, Carrie and Rhonda Hortop, dear friends of ours, I think they've been to every house we've lived in Australia in the last almost 20 years, from all the way from Victoria all the way up to Tweed area. Wonderful, wonderful people. They're away today, unfortunately, but send them our greetings when you see them again. They're very precious to our hearts, as well as many of the rest of you here that we have known for a while. So it's good to be here today. And yes, kids, I love kids. That's why we have five of them ourselves. They're awesome. Kids are great. And I love everything I've seen this morning, from the video to all the things. Thank you, Tiani, and all the other rest of the team that have really been helping, all your parents that have brought your kids to do all this stuff. And I'm amazed at all the work that's gone into this. And before I preach to you kids, we're just going to have a little prayer. Is that all right? Jesus, thank you for a Sabbath, for the chance we have to be here, for these children that you created with a special purpose. I just ask that your Holy Spirit be here in our service, in the word today. In your name we pray, amen. Jesus loves people so much. You know that, right? He was kind of bored, I believe, before he created other beings to have time with. And so he created all these other beings, he created angels, but he was saving something really, really special for planet Earth. And do you know what planet Earth has that we don't know that any other being in the universe has? Has the ability to procreate. That means the ability to have kids. There's no baby angels that I've ever heard of. So as far as we know, we're the only ones that can have children. And so Jesus looks at all of you and says, wow, you're awesome. And I planned this. This is so cool. And the very beginning, Jesus made Adam and Eve. And where did he put them? Did he put him in a big skyrise in the middle of the CBD of Sydney? Is that where he put him? Where did he put him? In a garden. Who likes to be in the garden? Oh, isn't that fun? Sometimes you don't want to be in the garden, huh? Well, back then in the garden, there were no snakes that could bite you, no mozzies that would come get you, no thorns and thistles that would prick you. So it was like a perfect place. You could just dig up and find stuff, and you could find a crocodile and swim with it. That'd be cool, huh? Right? That's how it was. It was just so perfect. It was where God wanted them to be. And they were so happy. And God made all these beautiful trees and flowers and all this kind of food for them to eat. And God, right in the very middle of the garden there where he put them, he put two very big important trees. One was called the tree of life. And one was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what did God give them instructions with these two trees? Or God just say, oh, just see what happens when you try it. Is that what God said, or did he tell them ahead of time? He told them ahead of time, right? And one tree was very good for them. Which one was it? That's right, this one. God says, this one, you can have it. Eat all you want. In fact, it's a tree of life. Don't you wish we could eat the tree of life today? Well, one day, Jesus, do you know where the tree of life is today? It's in heaven. It's in heaven before the flood. God came and took it up to heaven. Yep. And so it's there. And we'll get to heaven one day. We're going to be able to eat from that tree again. And it has 12 different fruits in its season, like each month. It could be 12 different fruits every month, or it could just be a different fruit every month. But every month there's going to be something awesome, right? Yum. We don't know what it was. And then there was a tree. Now this tree, did it look deadly? Did it look poisonous, or did it look good? It looked good. In fact, it might have looked just the same as this tree. Did it have nice fruits on it? Yeah. Were those fruits poisonous?
Yes.
No, they weren't. Why was it that they weren't to eat from that tree?
Because they
totally
died.
So it's Who's the parent of that kid? That's my boy. God just said, don't touch it. Don't eat from it or you're going to die. Really, there was nothing wrong with it. It was a healthy tree. It was growing there with good fruit. But God just says, no. Why does God, in the middle of this great big garden, he puts these people right there in the middle of it with two trees right in the middle? Did God want them to eat from that tree and to die? No, he loved them. He wanted them to only eat from that tree. He wanted them to live forever and ever. But you know what God wants more than everything? He doesn't want robots. He doesn't want people who just do the right thing just because they have to do it. I'm going to do the right thing just because I have to. Did you know that there's a lot of people in this world that they think that God's going to owe them heaven one day because they went to church every Sabbath and they paid their tithes and they gave money to the missionaries and they lived the health message and they did everything right and now God has to give them heaven one day. Is that how it works?
No.
Or is heaven a gift? Is salvation a gift? It's a gift. You can't earn it, right? It's free. But Jesus, what he wants, he doesn't want us just doing something just because we have to do it. He actually wants our heart. He says, I want people who trust me. Does God know more than Adam and Eve?
No.
Well, of course he does. They're dead. They don't know anything, right? But does God know more than you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Sometimes, though, we don't really trust God. Now, do we have a choice of a tree today? Do we have a choice of a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil? Do we have that choice?
Yes.
Can we go to the tree of life? It's in, where is the tree of life?
Yes.
It's in heaven. Can we just fly up to heaven?
No.
Not yet, right? I wish we could, don't you? That would be awesome. But we can't yet. So we don't really have the choice of the trees. We have other choices God gives us. So there's another thing in the garden that God made. God made these days, right? How many days did God create?
7 days.
Is each day 24 hours? Yes, do you want to say something? You remember it and you let put your hand up. Yes? That's all right. You remember, you tell me later. I'll try to claw your hand quicker. So, God made these days. Now, does the sun come up and go down on the first day? And the second day? And the third day? And the fourth day? All the days, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to Sabbath, when the sun comes up, does the sun do this big dance in the sky? Ta-da, 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 it's Sabbath, everybody. Ta-da, ta-da. Is that what happens?
No.
Or is it just like every other day? It's just like every other day. But God says that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. God says that in that day he rested, he blessed it, he hallowed it, he sanctified it. It's a very special day, right?
Yeah.
Why is it special? Because the scientists in the world can figure it out, or because God said it?
God said it.
God said it. Is God smarter than people?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is smarter than people. But we don't always trust him. And so God says, this one day is mine. And we get to choose if we want to spend time with Jesus on Sabbath or not, right? It's a choice we make, because what is God chasing after again? Our heart. He wants you. He wants you to be excited about the Sabbath. He wants you excited to spend time with him. This is the day that Jesus comes specially to be just with you. Do you know when Adam and Eve were in the garden with these trees, Jesus would come every morning and every evening be with them, but on the Sabbath, he would come and stay the whole day. And just walk with him the whole day. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, Jesus does that today with the Holy Spirit. We don't see him, but he is here in a very special way on the Sabbath. Sabbath is super special. Because God says it, it actually is a spiritual reality. Yes. Awesome. So you spend time with Jesus every night in your home. That is awesome. And Jesus loves it, and he wants you to do it because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. And God gives us all these things to see if we're going to believe him or not believe him. So God says one day is really special, and then God gives us blessings of life, and he gives us money. Now, you don't have lots of money yet, but some of you probably get a little bit of pocket money, or you might get money at your birthday or Christmas, or your mommy gives you something, your daddy gives you something. Some of you might have an allowance, and if you want to know how much money you should be getting, come to Money Smart Kids, and you'll find out, okay? And you'll love to come. Kids can come, too, to that program, by the way, kids and parents or grandparents. And so God has this money, and he says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 is yours to do what you want with. But God says 10%, whose is it? God says it's his. Now, when I get a paycheck, does it say 10% is not yours, give it to God? Does it say that? Nope, it doesn't say that.
He gives us a free choice.
Yes, because he wants to see what we're going to choose. Now, there's a lot of people who think, you know what, I'll be richer if I keep this for me. Do they end up richer?
No. Not much richer.
Not much richer? Just 10%?
No.
Jesus says you'll be better off if you don't steal from me. Do you think you're better off if you give it? Do you think you're better off if you give it to God or if you keep it? See, this is where it comes in a test. Do we believe what God says to be true? Now, I want you to notice this little bit of a pattern. The very first test were these two trees in the middle. Now, there are lots of trees they could eat, but of the two trees in the middle, what percent could they eat from?
10%.
What percent could they eat from with two trees?
50. If,
correct. 50%. Good. We have a mathematician in the making, right? Yeah, fantastic. All right. 50% they could have. Then God says, okay, of the days, you have 6 days. 6 days you shall labor, do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. Basically, God says, it's mine. Don't do what you want on the Sabbath in Isaiah. It's my day. Now, 1/7, who knows what percentage 1/7 is? Do you know? All right. Oh, wow. 14.2857. I knew 14.28, but after that, I hadn't gone that further. So we have a real mathematician here. So 14.2857%. God says, this much is mine. And you notice when it comes to money, percentage-wise, this is actually the easiest test. Because it's not 50%. It's not 14.2857%. When it comes to money, what does God ask for? How much percent? 10%. It's only a little bit, right? Does God need our money? Is God going to go hungry in heaven if we don't give him money? He won't be able to pay his hospital bill. He doesn't need our money. So if God doesn't need it, why does he ask for it? Who is he trying to help? Yes, you. He wants you to have a great life. And he says, if you want to be super happy in life, if you want to be super blessed in life, if you trust me to know that that I have your best interest at mind, then you just do this. Now, Adam and Eve, did we believe that God had our best interest, or did we believe what the devil said? The devil said, God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God. God's lying to you. God says, eat this one, but God says, don't eat from this one because God actually is being a jerk, is what Satan says. God knows that you're going to have so much fun and you'll become so much better. Your life will be so much better if you do what you're not supposed to do. And Eve believed it. And she convinced her husband also. And so Adam and Eve eat the fruit. Did their life become so much better?
No.
Or did it become really bad?
Yeah.
It got very bad, that's right. And now, when it comes to the 7 days of the week, Jesus says, give me one day. And what does Satan say? Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. Just do whatever you want. Just make it a day to do whatever you want. Don't worry about what God says, right? And when it comes to money, Satan says, oh, God's a thief. He just wants to steal from you and make you poor. Is that true? You see, there's two voices, and every one of these choices of the voices that we hear, God is finding out, who are my children who love me, who want to serve me, who believe that I am smarter than them, who really believe that I want them to do well and succeed? You know, God gives us all of these things because he loves us and he wants us to do really, really well. When Jesus gave them the Ten Commandments, which are all these laws, which really are 10 promises. Did you know that? They're actually promises of God, that when you follow him, these are things that are going to make your life better. And the people in Deuteronomy, when it was repeated there, the law, the people said, okay, Jesus, we're going to do what you say. Did they do what he said? We can't actually do what God asked us to do without his help. We have to ask God to help us. But when they said that, this is what God said. God said, oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me, they would love me, and they would keep my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their children forever. God says, if you do things his way, it will be well for you forever. Who wants to have a forever life with God that's awesome? How do you going to have a wonderful life with God? How do you think? Yeah, a personal relationship with him. Know who he is, that Jesus is your friend. And when your friend says, this day is my day, you say, yes, yay. When your friend says, this is my money, you say, okay, it's yours. And you trust your friend and you believe your friend. And does keeping the Sabbath and giving money to God, does that mean God has to save you? Nope. God says, you're my friend already. I give you a gift of salvation if you accept me. And when you accept me, if you want to have a wonderful life, then you trust that I know what's best for your life. Right? That's the message for today. for you to think about every time you have these voices and these choices in your life, it's God giving you an opportunity to choose, because God doesn't want robots who just say, okay, I just do whatever my mom and dad tell me, whatever my pastor tells me, I just do it. God doesn't. There's no value in that. But when you say, I believe that Jesus loves me, that he has my best interest at heart, that he knows what's best for me, and I'm going to do what he asked me to do because I want to, because I'm excited, then that makes Jesus so happy. Because he can make robots any day, but he can't make another one of you, because you are unique in the universe. There's no one else like you, and he wants you to live with him forever and ever. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you're going to start practicing. When you hear that voice of Jesus, when you know that, you'll say, yes, I'm excited to do it, because I know that God has my best life will be in serving him with all of my heart. So thank you for listening, and now we'll have a closing song.